we have to interpret that. And just real briefly, I'd like to share my personal biblical framework for understanding the Bible. Okay? So look up. When I look at Isaiah 1 to 66, the book we're studying, we're on class 3, How God Reaches a Dying Culture. You notice that into this Isaiah course, I have brought the crucifixion. I have brought the archaeology. I am talking about prophecy. I'm talking about the Trinity theology, the virgin birth, all as I'm talking about Isaiah. And there's a reason for that. It's called our worldview, or what I call my framework. So let me give you, so you understand in these videos and in this course, when I open the Bible, how do I see the things that I'm teaching you about God from the Bible? Look back at the slide. Here's my framework. And there are 8 parts of this, my personal biblical framework to understand the Bible. And I would encourage you to really think deeply about each one of these. Number one, I'm an evangelist. What that means is I think every individual needs to be saved. I think that people aren't saved because they're in a Christian family or because they have gone to church. I believe that everyone was born a sinner and have to respond to the gospel. They must be saved by calling personally on the Lord Jesus Christ, not by association. It's salvation by reception. Secondly, I'm an imputationist. What does that mean? Well, look up for a second. I'll show you, because I tell people this all the time. When I witness, this is what I tell them. I say, this is you, and this big dark object is your sin, and this is Jesus. And if you die, you, with your sin on you, you're going to sink down into the lake of fire forever, never surface, and you'll be suffering endless punishment for your sin. Because if you die with sin on you, the wrath of God is forever going to be burning in his indignation against that sin. So here's the gospel. Here's Jesus. Here's me with my sin. And Jesus comes to me and offers to me salvation. He does that by his Spirit, convicting me of sin. John 1 says, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's John 1. Acts 17 says, Jesus comes an arm's length. You see, I can touch this board. It's an arm's length away. So Jesus comes this close, and he bumps me with conviction. He knocks. You could put it this way. He knocks on the door of every person that's ever lived. And if they will, Paul said, grope in their blindness in the dark and say, who is that? You're the God of the universe. I want to know who you are. He offers salvation to all of us sitting in darkness, on the edge of the cliff, ready to plunge into the lake of fire. How does he save us, though? What is imputation? Look back at the slide. Imputationist means Christ alone saves. Now look up at my illustration. This is how Jesus saves us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. Jesus comes to me, my sin goes on him, and all my sins are gone. That's what imputation is about. That Jesus takes all of my sin on himself. On the cross, right here, Jesus did something remarkable. Jesus took the penalty for my sin and the record that I had sinned, and he put all that imputed. That means it was divinely placed in his account. Now, you know about electronic money transfers. Money is here, and blip, it goes over, and it's here. And it's not here anymore. It's over here. It is electronically transferred. Imputation is God transferring the penalty of my sin onto Jesus and transferring the record of the sin, and those Events are the doctrine of justification. Justification is that Jesus was treated by God on the cross. God treated him like he committed all of my sins. And God punished him and put the record of all of my sins 2,000 years after the cross. That shows the divine nature of salvation. He put all of Isaiah's sins 700 years before the cross, all of my sins 2,000 years after the cross, but he put onto Jesus the penalty and record of the sin. And look, so my sin goes on Jesus, but that's not all the gospel. There's two parts of the gospel. I'm justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ. But then it says, so that we, this is 2 Corinthians 5:21, might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus places onto me his righteousness, and he's still holding my sin. And that makes him the one that justified me. But what does it make me? The Bible calls us saints. That's what happens when we are imputed the righteousness of Christ. Look back at the slides, or we'll never get through this class. Number three, I'm an inerrantist. That means the scriptures are completely inspired. That means every word, every doctrine, everything in the Word of God is completely, inerrantly inspired. Fourthly, I'm a creationist. That means I believe what God said and what Jesus believed, that God made everything in six solar days. I'm a catastrophist because the Bible says Noah's flood really happened. And Jesus believed that the waters covered all the earth. And you could just go anywhere and you can see hydrological damage to this planet and flood damage. I'm a cessationist. Now, clearly, I want to state this. The revelation of Scripture has ended. That means that no longer is God speaking through people that are on the same level as the scriptures. I'm a maximalist. That means all of the historical and scientific facts are true, not just some of them, not the spiritual ones, but all the scientific and all the moral ones. And finally, I'm what is called a dispensationalist, which means Israel has not become the church. Now look up. You say, what on earth is all that? That completely affects how you see this book. I see the Bible as one complete message from God. And that's what I present. Those are my personal biblical convictions about the Bible. Okay, look back at the slides. That's the framework. That's how we interpret. And so chapter 6 that we're looking at right now has one original intention, the meaning of that portion of Scripture. It's only found, that's the proper interpretation is only found by understanding the history, the geography, where it fits in Scripture, and what the words say. So the next slide, Isaiah 6 is part of this. Look, God, sin, culture, and consecration. This was a message God was giving to his people. See up here, his people. Israel when? Israel 2,700 years ago. Now look up. So it doesn't have any message for me today? Yes. You see, there's only one interpretation of any passage of Scripture. Only one. But there are endless applications. So there's only one interpretation. That's what did God mean by what he wrote and said to that target audience. But there are many applications, okay? That's taking the doctrine, the truth, the principle, the theology, whatever you want to call it, what God meant. See, interpretation is what God meant, not what I think it means or what it means to me. It's what God meant, but then I apply it to my life. And of course, in chapter 6, it's God meant that we're sinful, he's holy, I can be cleansed, and he wants to call and use me.